Welcome to Money in Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where every week we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom. Do you ever wonder how your money and your stuff, the things that you own, are actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there's really peace of mind that comes when you know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There's so much potential for anxiety when you sense that your money is not aligned with your values and convictions.
It's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day.
Mm-hmm.
It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas, and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services.
That's right. Yeah, and all this information is just, it's so tough to keep it straight. It can be downright confusing, possibly even scary. And when you're confused, you don't make good decisions. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Welcome to Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. And each week, we will talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
Yeah, and part of the way through our show, each week, we get to a weekly puzzler, which we think is kind of fun, right?
That's right.
I mean, a weekly puzzler is a brain teaser. It's just a puzzle that we'll share with you. And we always say we don't know if the puzzle will be interesting to you, but it's interesting to us anyway, and we hope it's interesting to you. So, but we're on the mic here, so we'll share the puzzler.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So, James, to start this off, what did you think was a financial news highlight throughout the past week or so?
Oh, wow. So much happening. But, you know, I'm looking at a census.gov report here that reports on the most recent U.S. trade deficit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, you know, Eric, the U.S. trade deficit for the month of May was over $99
billion. $99
billion? Just for the month of May.
Wait a minute. That's more than $1 trillion per year.
It is. It's a really, really big number. March and February also had trade deficits of over $90 billion. April last year was at $97
billion. Wow.
The number is really, really staggering. It is a trade deficit of over $1 trillion a year.
And a trade deficit means that we are buying more of everyone else's stuff than they're buying of us, our stuff, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And the reason they call it a trade deficit, yes, as you said, we're buying more of their stuff than they're buying of our stuff. And so we're in a deficit like that, absolutely.
Well, let's slow this down and talk about exactly what that means.
So basically, as an economy, so we know an economy is really just people doing business with each other, right?
That's right.
Transactions. I buy something from you, you buy something from Joe, Joe buys something from Russ, Russ buys something from me, and suddenly we have a little economy.
Mm-hmm.
People doing business with each other. So and when people do business with each other, they need things. So they buy stuff from each other. And so when this economy buys stuff to get the things they need, it means that they may trade, and the two economies could trade with each other. So, so our little economy of you and me and Russ and Joe might exchange things with another economy across the street, right? That also has people in it doing business with each other. But in practical terms, just to help our listeners understand what that means, it means that the stuff that we have probably was not manufactured just down the street anymore.
And we can even take a look in our own homes, right? And look around and just take inventory and see all the various things that we own.
That's right. It's an interesting exercise, and it's actually a little eye-opening to go look at the tag, say, on your shirt, right? And see that this was made someplace across the ocean, across the pond.
Right.
Right? Your shirts, well, pants, shoes, right? I mean, all your clothing, most clothing items, sweatshirts, almost everything we wear was manufactured somewhere else.
Right.
And so we had to buy that stuff from...
And it's imported.
And it's imported. That's right. Mm-hmm. So when they call it imported, that's what it means. We bought it from them. I'm even...
Well, is a trade deficit good or bad then?
That is a $64,000 question, right? because what happens, I guess, you know, originally when stuff started being bought or purchased from overseas, the main idea was that it was cheaper to buy that stuff from overseas than it was to make it here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. For various reasons.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it was cheaper. And so let's think about that together, right? If we are manufacturing Band-Aids here in our country and we can buy adhesive cheaper overseas than we can buy it here in the States, then we can make those Band-Aids for a lower price. And that feels good to everybody because we were able to buy those supplies cheaper overseas than by buying them here in our economy. So so that's good.
Well,
from the sense that we can sell our Band-Aids cheaper, right? It makes it easier for you to buy the Band-Aids. It's maybe not so good from the standpoint that somebody here just lost a job, right? We sent that job somewhere else.
And what happens when there's less domestic manufacturing here in the States?
When there's less domestic manufacturing here in the States, well, just like we said last week, when the purchasing managers index declines, if somebody has less to do here in the States, that means the business that they were part of has less to buy and it has less to sell. Now, if an economy can replace that with something else, then it may feel like things are equaling out. But still, it makes us a little bit more dependent on somebody else to be able to get that stuff from them. Think about what happens when we buy something from across the ocean, right? It has to get, first it gets manufactured over there, and then they have to put it on a ship. Well, over there, they probably have to put it on a truck first. And the truck then hauls
takes all it to their port.
Takes it to their port, that's right. Puts it on a ship. The ship sails across the ocean, drops it off at a port over here, and they put it on a truck. And so it costs a lot more to get it from point A to point B. And so it costs more, but it also creates a supply chain risk. And that's bad, right? So trade deficits have the possibility of A, lowering some costs here to make things work better, but it also creates inflationary pressures as well.
Well, with this trade deficit, how does that affect our currency?
Yeah, that's where things get a little strange, you know, because there are actually 160 currencies around the world, all different currencies, and the U.S. dollar right now is actually strengthening relative to other currencies around the world.
Well, what makes a currency strong?
Yeah, there's several factors that make a currency either stronger or weaker. There's supply and demand, or the amount of demand that's coming in for that currency. There is market sentiment, and basically just how people feel about that currency around the globe. And then there are actually traders who trade in the currency exchanges and the currency markets, and the amount of trading they do can either create demand or not for a particular currency.
Right. And so just like with the trade deficit we were talking about, that supply and demand can have an effect with all those goods being made overseas.
That's right. That's exactly right. So there's a lot of moving parts. But certainly when the dollar is stronger relative to other currencies, then certain things are more expensive that we might be buying overseas. When the dollar is weaker, then it's easier for other people to buy things from us, and it's harder for us to buy things from overseas. So you have all these moving parts, really going on in determining the strength of the dollar and overall really the health of an economy.
Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Kathy Troxell and Samuel Kogundu, who will talk about the Mercy Center Foundation, a beautiful example of a good business plan making a difference in Kenya. Stay tuned. You are listening to Money in Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles, right here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
Co-hosting together here, Money in Mission.
Whenever money goes somewhere, there's an impact. Something happens. And it is always thrilling and heartwarming to hear about people involved in a project that is really making a difference. Our special guest today is Samuel Kogundu from Mercy School in Kenya. Isn't that right, Samuel?
You're right. Thank you very much.
All the way from Kenya, right? How long did it take you to get here?
Quite a bit of a long time, like 20 hours to be here.
Wow, 20 hours in an airplane, right?
Yeah.
And joining us as well is Kathy Troxell. Kathy is the president and founder of Turning Point Financial, an investment advisory firm in Frederick, Maryland. So Kathy and Samuel, there's this amazing story that you guys are working on together, but tell us a little bit about the problem that you're working at trying to solve.
Thank you very much for the invite and for the opportunity to share with the listeners today. We are talking about girls' education, and I would want to start by saying that girls' education in Kenya is a privilege. We have many girls who don't attain secondary education, and most of them, after completing primary education, they end up in early marriages and with challenges of teenage pregnancies.
And primary education means, what does that mean?
Primary education is the early education, like what equivalent of grade 1 to maybe grade 8, grade 9. This grade 1 to grade 9 is free in Kenya, but for secondary education, it becomes very expensive for an ordinary parent to afford to take their girls to school. So it becomes a privilege for any girl to undergo secondary education.
Right. And if they don't have the education because they can't afford it, or maybe there just isn't community support or whatever, then that has an enormous negative impact, right, on their lives.
Yeah, you are right. Mm-hmm. Many girls, when they don't attend a secondary education, when they drop off at an early age, they are exposed to many challenges. And this includes early pregnancies, includes abuse, drug abuse. Some of them become their sex pets, they're misused, and people take advantage of them. And that means they get, when they become pregnant, when they're not prepared, this means that they'll not be able to take care of the children. And this extends the chain of poverty.
A chain of poverty really begins to happen. Yeah. And, you know, families, Kathy, are so important, as, you know, we believe and we support families, right?
That's right.
But when a young girl gets into a family situation, like, so early, just explain a little bit about what happens there.
Well, I mean, we obviously, families are a sustainable system for all of society. Mm-hmm. But when you have broken families, or you have young girls that are just coming into womanhood who are either abused or sometimes traded into marriage to relieve the pressure on their own family, it's a vicious cycle of poverty. And that's not what we're talking about. We obviously love babies and support babies. We want to have children, and we want great families, but not when it's broken like that.
That's right.
It just causes just terrible hardship.
Yeah. And so much of this happens because they don't have the education, right? The education that they should have. So many of us, we just don't think twice about having a good education. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we even complain about the education we have. But we take it for granted. But when it's not there, then the impact of that is just, there's a domino type of effect, right? One thing leads to another, and it keeps leading to another, and it becomes a real, real problem for families, for whole communities, right? And whole entire regions.
Hopelessness.
Right. The kind of thing where it's like, I just can't see how this is ever going to end, how it's ever going to become different.
Yeah, and it's true that when you educate a girl, you educate a village. So girls' education is so important that when you educate one girl, you educate the bigger family, because girls they become like a source of livelihood. They are committed to families, they bear children. So it's so important to talk about girls' education, because when you educate a girl, in our language, you say you have educated a village.
That's right.
And by extension, the entire country.
That's right.
Yeah.
And generations too.
Yeah.
Right? Because,
you're right.
Because again, if children are kind of seeing their mother in a cycle of poverty like that, then that's all they know. Yeah. That's all they know. But when they learn something totally different from their mother, then it shapes their worldview, it shapes the way that they approach life, and makes such an enormous difference.
And these girls are not different than the girls here. They have ambition and hope and dreams and desires, and they want to do all these things for themselves.
Yeah. It's good to say that girls become vulnerable when they don't attend education, especially secondary school education. They become vulnerable.
Say a little bit more about that. When they become vulnerable, what does that mean?
Yeah, when you say they become vulnerable, we mean that they're taken advantage of, and some of them give in to behaviors that are not acceptable. Like they are used like sex pets, and people abuse them, and they become frustrated. They give in to drugs. Just that means that the absence of education, or the absence of opportunity to pursue education, makes them vulnerable to other vices that they encounter that are so negative that impact their lives negatively.
That's right. So we hear about things like, you know, human trafficking and child abuse and so on. It's one thing to hear about it, but when it's just a part of the fabric of the community, that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're right. Yeah, so I think as we talk about the girls' education, I think personally I have a story that having come from a very poor background in Kenya and having gone through education, I am privileged to be able to realize what education can do when somebody gets an opportunity, because personally I was brought up in a poor family and I was formally sponsored and charmed by Plan International, where somebody took to pay my education bills, and that's how I attained education. So I feel challenged and I feel honored to speak about giving opportunities to other people, and that's in this case girls, to able to achieve education, because I myself was a beneficiary.
It has made such an impact in your life. And here on the show, you know, we talk with people all the time, right, Eric, about how when money goes someplace, it makes an impact, as you said.
Absolutely.
And money does things. Money can do things like provide education.
Well, like we said before, we need to be looking at money as a tool.
That's right.
Not just a resource that we need to accumulate, but it's a tool and it's a test. And what we do with our money can make a really big impact in our communities.
That's right.
And as you have a very powerful message that you're bringing here, Samuel. So I think it's important for folks to hear that.
It's important to understand, you know, when we talk about money having an impact, it's so important to understand the problem, right? And the contrast that, first of all, without certain actions and without certain forward action steps taking place, then the problem just continues to persist and it gets worse and worse, generation after generation, from community to community. One thing builds on another, and so the lack of education or the opportunity that doesn't exist anyway for these girls in Kenya to get the education that they need just persists, and it continues to make a big, big problem throughout that corner of the world.
And in addition to some of those economic and educational challenges that they face, could you share a little bit about some of the health conditions that they are facing down there in Kenya?
In Kenya, girls face a major challenge, especially when it comes to them undergoing through education, because when they miss the path of attaining secondary education, they get into issues to do with their female genital mutilation. Some communities practice that, and forced early marriages, where they arrange marriages, they force the girls to get married early when they're not ready, when they're not prepared. So this has a negative impact to even their health, and that becomes hindrance.
So it has a domino effect in their lives.
Yes, that becomes hindrance for them to be able to pursue education.
Yeah. Again, so many things we just don't think about. It's the economic condition. It's this all stems out of education, and then it goes into the area of health, and it just, again, it dominoes and it ripples out from that. Well, we're about out of time in this segment,
but I think we have to get to our weekly puzzle. Do you want to do last week's or this week's?
I'll do last week's.
Okay.
Right. Remember last week we had a question. We said there were two ducks in front of two ducks, and there were two ducks behind two ducks, and there were two ducks beside two ducks.
So what was the right answer?
So how many ducks were there, right?
Drum roll.
Drum roll, please. Right. Well, the correct answer is that there were four ducks. Four ducks, two behind, two in front, and two beside.
Well, our puzzle for this week is, you live 8 miles away from your local grocery store. After 1 hour of walking, you travel 50% of the way to the store. After another hour of walking, you're able to travel 50% of the remaining distance to that store. If this pattern continued, how long would it take you to walk to the grocery store? Send your responses to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopment.com. We'll read the correct answer on the puzzle in next week's show. And we are all out of time in this segment. After the break, we will ask Kathy and Samuel how they got involved with the Mercy Center Foundation and how they met. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
We'll be back right after these messages. Well, welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. I'm James.
And I'm Eric.
And we are talking with Kathy Troxell and Samuel Kagundu today. What an amazing story and that you guys are working on.
Absolutely. Just hearing the Samuel story was very powerful. It was very moving. And we're really glad that both of you are able to join us here today and talk to our listeners about this topic. If you could, Samuel, Kathy, just tell us a little bit about how did you get involved with the Mercy Center Foundation and how did you two meet? Let's start with you, Samuel, first.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity. After I completed my university education, in the year 2003, I got an opportunity to work for a church and to provide accounting services for the church. And later in the year 2007, I also got a job for Compassion International, where I work as an internal auditor.
An internal auditor at Compassion International?
Yes, which is a Christian organization that works to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And having worked there for some time and also having been a beneficiary of sponsorship through Plan International, I felt the need also to offer services, internal services to churches and to para-Christian organizations. And in this respect, during one of my work trips, I went to Nakuru, where Nakuru is in the Rift Valley region of Kenya. And that's how I met Sister Rose.
Sister Rose.
Yes. And Sister Rose is a founder for Mercy Center Foundation. She got my contact, and all the way from US, she gave me a call because she needed my services. She needed me to help her fix a few things in the school. So that's how I got involved. And from there, we started discussing about how to make things happen, to improve systems in the school. And as I was talking to her about improving the systems, trying to help her fix a few things in the school, she expressed a need to bring sustainability in the school.
Sustainability.
Yes, and when you talk about sustainability, is the aspect of not to rely throughout on donations. And she was like posing a question, what can we do to be able to create sustainable income, to be able to support the girls at that time in that school who are actually fully relying on donations from friends, donations from sponsors, donations from other people. So she had a great need to create sustainability in the school to raise additional income besides the normal support that she gets from donors. Mm. So that's where the discussion began. So I started reflecting back, and from my business background, because I've done a degree in business and I also do a few businesses on the side. I have one small business for oil refinery where I shared my story with her. I shared with her what I've been doing, how it has been helping me to do oil pressing, make some sales here and there. And she got very excited. So
after, and how did that lead you to meeting with Kathy?
Yeah. So it is now in this idea now that she, Sister Rose, reached out to a friend, Kathy, whom I had not met at that time, but who was very excited to hear this idea. So I was engaged to have a conversation with Kathy. So through Sister Rose.
Yeah.
And that's how I met Kathy.
So Sister Rose was that link for you too?
Yes. So Sister Rose was like the link between me meeting Kathy to discuss more about sustainability and Kathy having some quite very experience in financial services. Mm-hmm. She was very much excited to hear about or to discuss more about how we can make the school more sustainable.
So Kathy, probably you were just kind of sitting there waiting for Sister Rose to call you, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, let me give you a little background on where I came from, mm-hmm. if I can just rewind my life a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay, I was born and raised Catholic, mm-hmm. but not necessarily well educated about faith in a certain way. So it's okay. It was all right. It was all right. But in my early 30s, I encountered the Lord in prayer, and it was a tangible encounter.
Yeah.
And that it was interesting because I used to make fun of people who talked like the way I talk now.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Mm-hmm. So I was blown away that this was actually true, that the Lord was really and truly alive and separate from my thoughts of who he was. Mm-hmm. But since that time happened, I noticed changes in myself gradually. I saw no change in my life, but then I started seeing things really open up in a powerful way, and that would be just my heart of love for others was more profound. Mm. I was able to sort of notice when the Lord was prompting me, and that's becoming more and more clear over the years. And I was, with my life, coming from that faith perspective and that love for the Lord and love for others, I was open to a lot of these things, but my schedule was packed because I was in another ministry. I own a business. I have grandchildren and children and parents and, you know, like everyone else, I had no gaps in time, thought, bandwidth, brain cells. I had no more room to give.
That's right.
None. But my friend Flo, who was very persistent, she kept telling me, you need to meet Sister Rose. You need to meet Sister Rose. So finally I met Sister Rose, and now I know why she said that. Sister Rose is a modern day Frances Cabrini, Mother Cabrini. She really is. And she would not want me to say that, but she's doing amazing things with no money of her own, no resources. She's changing a region. So I couldn't say no. And we started praying. Sister Rose and I started praying for a micro business of some kind. We need this. Hmm. We need to get some revenue generated. These girls can do something. We can do something. So we were praying. And then she calls me one day and says, we've been praying for a business. I need you to meet Samuel. So that's...
And all of a sudden, something as intangible as your walk with God suddenly became tangible.
Very tangible.
I mean, this is so what happens when we say money in mission. Right? Mm-hmm. The mission, which is just something maybe in our heads or our hearts, all of a sudden it starts to take shape, and it involves money and it involves action. So what happened next? So you got this connection now with Sister Rose, and then things really start to happen.
Yeah. So as Kathia said, it's like two people with some common objective met, and that brought a sparkle. Because when we started sharing the idea of Sunflower Project, it's like Kathy was like waiting for an idea that to bring a change. So,
and you did say sunflowers.
Yes, I've mentioned about sunflower, and I think I'll be breaking it down as we talk about sunflower.
That's right.
And I'll be breaking it down so that for the audience to be able to understand when we talk about sunflower.
That's right. We'll be talking more about that.
Yeah.
Because right on the face of it, I can tell you, I'm not sure how sunflowers equal education, right? But I'm sure we will find out. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And I think it would be also important for me to say that as part of my journey and my walk with the Lord, I felt that I needed to make an impact. So this was also not about business idea. It was more of how also can I make an impact in terms of helping to bring sustainability in this school as part of my contribution as a Christian and as a born-again believer, how can I be able to support this school? So,
and were you moved by the experience that you had when you were younger of someone being able to step in and impact your life in such a strong way?
Certainly, because having been a sponsor and challenged by Plan International. Somebody paid for my bills, mm-hmm. for my education. So this moved me. When Sister Rose approached me to share ideas, I gladly opened my heart and I started sharing ideas that we can do to be able to bring sustainability, because I also felt somebody else paying the price on my behalf. So I felt I also needed to give back and mm-hmm. be able to do something about the school.
Give back, yes. Mm-hmm.
The conversation began. It began by meeting the board for Master School, try to share the idea of what I felt was going to help us raise additional income. And this was about sunflower. And for the sake of the viewers, listeners who may not be aware about sunflower, sunflower is it's like a canola. It's like it's a seed. It's a seed plant mm-hmm. that grows in the tropical Africa. It has a short maturity period of like 3 months. And just 3 months. And it's very rich in oil. So mm-hmm. normally in Kenya, sunflower is used to feed the birds, to feed chicken, to feed animals. And many people don't make use of it as an oil seed. So I felt this is a project. Personally, I had started it as a business, so I had a bit of background, I had a bit of ideas on how to process oil. So I shared with the board. And because Kathy was in the board, that she, from a financial perspective, she felt this is something worth trying, this is something worth investing in, because we are able to process through sunflower. The idea was to process oil, to be able to buy oil from the farmers in Nakuru, Lare, be able to buy.
And this helps out not just the girls, but the community.
Yes. So the community was to benefit. So the idea was to help the community plant sunflower, buy sunflower from them, process the sunflower, then sell the oil and also use the byproducts to make animal fins, to make soap, to make glue, to make candles. So it was a whole kind of a complex idea that I shared.
And again, this all happened because you connected with Sister Rose. Sister Rose connected with Kathy. But as we've seen so many times, you know, if we as people were just sort of looking at this story, we would say, "Wow, over there in Kenya, there are dots, and you know, here in the States, there are dots." But the dots need to be connected, right? And and we probably wouldn't even think about connecting those dots. We wouldn't have no idea how. But when God starts connecting the dots, then amazing things happen, right? Exactly. And what it really takes is people like Sister Rose to say yes. Yeah. And it takes people like you, Samuel, to say yes. And it takes people like you, Kathy, to say yes, right?
Yeah.
That's such a huge reminder to our listeners, right? Because every one of our listeners has their own story, right? You have your own story as a listener. Oh. And when you organize your planning in a way where you are listening to the voice of God, then amazing things have an opportunity to happen.
That's right.
We've got to take a quick break here again.
And when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Kathy and Samuel about what solutions exist and how our listeners can get in touch with you and make an impact of their own. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Well, welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. And we've been hearing today, what an amazing story about...
It's a powerful story.
A powerful, powerful story. Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm James.
And I am Eric.
Yeah, and we're co-hosting here, Money and Mission. Samuel, you know, we were talking about education there in Kenya and how the girls just aren't getting education and they need it so badly. And when they don't have that education, the terrible things that are happening as a result of that in their families, in their community. And then we've kind of been hearing how you and Kathy both got connected with Sister Rose. But then you started talking about sunflower seeds. And sunflower seeds and education, like this is a big jump, right, Samuel? So help me understand And Kathy, I know you've been involved in this project as well. So so help us understand how sunflower seeds equal education.
Thank you very much. I'd want to break it down for the sake of the audience to understand when you talk about sunflower, what are we talking about? I would also want to say that...
And I'm sorry, these are the big yellow things, right?
Yes,
at the top
yes.
of flowers, right? Yeah, okay, just making sure it's a sunflower. Yeah.
Yes, so it is difficult to talk about girls' education without talking about the family, where they come mm-hmm. from. Because the family is not separable from them. They are part of a family and also part of a community. So the whole idea of sunflower, and in this case, for the sake of the listener, sunflower is one of the tropical crops in Africa and in Kenya. It has grown to feed chicken. It has yellow flowers and it's like a shrub. Mm-hmm. But there's black seeds. We have some black sunflower. We also, some countries also grow white sunflower. But the Kenyan sunflower, what we call Kenya feather, is a Kenya feather, yes. It's mm-hmm. a known, it's a very nice seed that has higher oil content.
Really?
But unfortunately, the farmers, many farmers there do not know that. They use it for feeding the chicken. So... this idea came through inspiration from my wife, who is a biotechnologist. And as you are talking, she shared the idea with me that sunflower seed can produce oil. And now, if we press the oil, we are able to make a sale. Let me also say that in Kenya, the cost of cooking oil, which is actually edible oil, is very expensive. Mm. 1 liter of cooking oil is like around equivalent of $4. Mm-hmm. So many families cannot afford that kind of oil.
That's right.
In fact, average wage per day for a family is like $2.
So when you say $4, you mean the equivalent of $4 US dollars?
Yes, about, four right? US dollars.
Right.
$4 US dollars.
And there's a currency exchange.
Exactly.
That's
like,
right.
In terms of Kenya shillings, that we are talking about equivalent of like 1 liter, 600 Kenya shillings per liter. Of oil that becomes so expensive because these families earn $2 per day, which is like 300 Kenya shillings. So you find even daily wages cannot pay for a liter of oil. So I studied the market and I realized that the multinationals in Kenya are taking advantage of the local poor people. They are selling the oil very expensive. The oil is not affordable. Many families go without properly preparing their food because they cannot afford oil. And I realized this was a big business for multinationals, but nobody was offering a local solution. So I came in to start thinking of how can we offer some local solutions. So basically that's how the whole idea about the sunflower came about. And so we started from a point and I shared with Kathy now. And when I shared with Kathy about that idea, she said, yes, I would be glad to support the initial.
So basically in creating a small business effort.
Yes.
Micro business, really,
yes.
Right there.
Yes.
Then
yes.
You are able to help solve, some real economic problems,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Making a
yep.
product more
yep.
affordable
yep.
like that. And then by making it more affordable, that
yep.
makes it easier for
yep.
the families to send their children to school.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Remember, we needed to solve an economic problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it required an economic solution.
That's right.
Because we needed to create sustainability. And you cannot talk about sustainability without talking about the economics.
That's
how
right.
do you raise money?
That's right.
How do you continually come up with a project that can bring income?
Mm-hmm.
For a long period of time without necessarily having to rely on donations, which is what now Sister Rose was relying on, getting donors to give fees. But she was very passionate about how can I make it sustainable? I don't have to go every time to look for money from the donors. So she was really passionate about sustainability. So
that's
I came
right.
in to
that's
bring
so important.
An economic solution. So, but we needed the money. We didn't know where to start. How do we buy the seeds? How do we mobilize the farmers? So I talked to Sister Rose about it, and she talked to Kathy about it. And Kathy was moved.
Yeah. And so Sister Rose was asking for donations.
Yes.
Asking for donations. It's so easy to ask for donations.
It's not easy to get them, though.
It's not easy to get them. That's right. But but when you can create a sustainable solution, then money that otherwise would just be gifted as a donation actually goes to work in creating, as you said, a sustainable solution. Yes.
So, yeah, when I heard about this from Sister Rose, I was thinking instantly, my heart leapt. Like, I knew there was something in it, that the Lord was, he had something in this instantly. And the next morning in prayer, and I found the scripture reference. So I was doing my prayer time, which was my new thing, of course, when I was in my 30s. But, and this is what the scripture said. And Ezra blessed the Lord. This is in Nehemiah chapter 8. The great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And as soon as I read that, I instantly saw, hadn't gone to Kenya at that point, I saw farmers lifting up their hands saying, our great God, Amen, Amen, because of the crops, the three crops a year versus one.
Wow.
And then I saw the students, Amen, Amen, our great God, thank you, Lord, because they were getting their tuitions paid. Teachers, the salaries going up. Employment in the factory happening. The market for this oil being bigger than we can fill. It's just, it's only God's business that would be that perfect. Business is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard here. It's hard there. But this was such a beautiful business plan. Hmm. That only, it was only the Lord that could come up with this business plan. And I saw instantly, this is his doing. It's too perfect.
It's too perfect.
It's too perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Kathy, for that. Because as we were talking about that issue of solving an economic problem, we had two focus. Focus number one was the student. Focus number two was the community. Because we felt besides raising money for the student, we needed to empower the community so that they can continue supporting other girls. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea came about sharing this concept to the farmers around, talking to them about the importance of sunflower, the benefits of sunflower, and how we can actually plant sunflower and be able to sell to us, to the factory, we earned value, and then we are able to pay, give them money, so that they can also support other children. So we had those two concepts. So we started by the first one, where we had to buy the seeds for the farmers. This included even training the farmers on how to do the planting, how to do the harvesting, and at what price to be able to sell to the market, and almost kind of an agreement in terms of what to be giving them as a return. So we got the first money from Kali's organization that funded the seeds for the farmers. We distributed, that was last year in October, we distributed the seeds to the farmers. They planted, and we started the long journey of establishing the factory. This included procuring the machines, and we got a lot of support from Kathy, who also offered to buy the machines for us. And that's how we started. So we had to do things concurrently because, one, we have issued seeds to the farmers. They needed to plant, and we have also assured them that to buy from them. So it included even doing all those things concurrently so that we don't frustrate the farmers.
That's right. Now, have you been doing this long enough at this point, Samuel, to start seeing some success stories? Have you?
Basically, actually, we've already started seeing success stories because this project started last year. And by now, we already have products, and we have already started selling the product. We have started getting returns. Yeah, money has started coming in. And as we talk about this, we are talking about how do we upscale it more? How do we take it to the next level so that we can support more girls?
That's right.
So basically, as I talk more about what has happened between last year and now is that we've been able to equip the farmers with the seeds. We have been able to buy the seeds from them, and we've also been able to process the oil. In fact, in the studio, I came up with a sample. I could not carry a lot of it because of customs issues, but I carried a sample of very nice oil that is competitive enough in the market.
Right.
So at this point now, we are ready to, it's like we are ready to take off, and the product is already bringing returns. We are ready to take off. We are ready to to go to the bigger market. And, right.
Well, are there, you know, for any of our listeners that would like to just maybe, is there a website for people to sort of check in on and, and see how some of this is working?
Well, the website is in the process of being rejuvenated because we are on a shoestring budget, but you can go to mercyproject.org. I believe there's a video, a new video there, or will be soon. And they can also email me, and I'll be happy to share any resources, pictures, status updates. It's a community partnership that we are really looking for people to who want to somehow help.
Right. So mercyproject.org. www.mercyproject.org. And you have an email address as well.
Yes, K-A-T-H-Y, Kathy.
Kathy.
At TP, like Turning Point.
Right.
Financial.com.
Kathy at tpfinancial.com. So feel free to reach out to Kathy, check out mercyproject.org, and just follow this wonderful, wonderful story. We're right down at the tail end of our time.
And we really appreciate both of you being here. Thank you so much for telling your story. And thank you, Samuel, for coming all the way from Kenya. And as remember, folks, thank you for joining us today. And remember to send your answers to this week's puzzle to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com.
Right. It's been so good to be with you here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. A great big thank you to everyone over here for airing the show. Make it a blessed week.